The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. It's Sunday morning and we're here from 8 to 9 providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. Man, have we been inundated with phone calls from folks. Apparently this must be the time. Everyone's thinking about, man, I need to get serious about my financial planning. I need to start doing something differently. And I appreciate all the phone calls, I really do. And we're starting to put you on our calendar. We do offer a free initial consultation at our office. The phone number to my office, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Just leave a message. Jody will give you a call back tomorrow, and we'll find some time to get you on our calendar. A lot of things going on. As you well know, we're just weeks away from this presidential election. Frankly, I think it's getting boring now. I don't think people are even following it or even seem to care about it as much as they did in the weeks that followed. I don't know about your Facebook sites or those Facebook posts and Twitter feeds and all the ads and stuff. It's just getting ridiculous now. I think everyone knows what the election outcome is going to be. Those of you that are petrified that that Trump is going to pull a little Brexit win, that's not going to happen. Not that I'm betting my life on it, but I'm feeling pretty comfortable that Hillary should just slide right into this presidency without any problems. The markets are seeming to suggest that. The current market environment does. Yeah, there's a lot of nasty stuff that's getting thrown around about both candidates. Some is true, some is not true. But certainly, does anybody even know what the positions the candidates are taking on some of the significant issues? I know that I have no idea. So one of the things that I heard this past week was that, did you know that Hillary Clinton is the second most hated and despised presidential candidate that has ever run for office? But to her positive, the most hated and despised person to ever run for public for presidential position is Donald Trump. So that is why Hillary is doing so well right now. I don't think we have to worry about it here in Massachusetts. I mean, I think that was a fait accompli before the election even started that Hillary would be the winner. But I think this is going to be an absolute landslide. It's not even going to be close. So if you were fretting one way or the other, stop fretting, because the outcome is, frankly, in from my perspective, it's already been determined. The issue really that it matters to me most right now is what will happen in Congress, what will happen in the House, what will happen in the Senate, because frankly, one of the things that we do know, as long as there is a divided Senate and House, you know, there's a if there's, let's say, a Republican House and a Democratic Senate, or vice versa, or there's not all three of the same parties in the presidential spot and in both houses of Congress, we're going to do okay. But if everything is the same, that creates tremendous turmoil in markets and economic principles, because all of a sudden you're looking at one extreme or the other. We have a great checks and balances system, though we may not like the people that we have in Congress, the people that are representing our country and helping to fight for decisions that sometimes we think are illogical and unnecessary and not the most important things of the day to talk about. It does keep the checks and balance system in play, and it does slow down the process. And, you know, sometimes I think as we've all aged over time, you know, I'm one of these guys that, there's still an element of ADD in me, and I like to make some spontaneous decisions. But when it comes time for making big decisions, grand decisions, oftentimes it's important to make sure that all the perspectives are heard, that we slow things down a bit. Yes, it comes down to a snail's crawl or even slower than that in Congress, but I don't think we'd want it to be at a rapid fire either. I think that's something that Donald Trump might want. He'd want to see some change dramatically and quickly. And as much as I think we do need some change in this country, We do need to slow it down a little bit and think it through thoughtfully to make sure that we represent America and not just the interests of one or two or three different groups. But that's my opinion. So there you have it. That's my thoughts on the election. Hillary's going to win. All done. But I still think the House and Senate will remain divided, and that's a good thing. So, here's the last thing. One final thing. I think we all know that the members of our Congress have the lowest approval rating in the history of America. The history of America, we all say we can't stand them. We need term limits. We need to make changes. We need to do something. This person's rotten. This person's lousy, whatever it might be. But why is it year after year after year after year, nothing changes? Do you know why nothing changes? Because we're all quick to blame somebody else. You know, if we voted, we just made the statement that said, you know what, we're just not going to vote for the incumbent across the board. Now you'd see some serious change. Now, it may be a little bit tumultuous for a little while because we'd have all new people. But I'm telling you, the biggest problem, if we want to get away from hating who we have representing our country in Congress, we need to look ourselves in the mirror and say, you know what, I'm going to be part of the change and vote for somebody else. I don't care what party it is, but just vote for somebody else. At any rate, we're going to talk about a lot of things today. Many people that I talk to, and certainly those that have come to visit our office in the past several months, are generally 50, 60, or 70 years old. They're finding themselves either approaching retirement, beginning retirement, or enjoying the first 10 or 15 years of their retirement. And what's fascinating to me is that each of those decades, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, each of them bring different challenges, different things to think about, because no longer is life about accumulate, accumulate, accumulate anymore. It's about, have I accumulated enough? Man, I'm mad at myself for not saving more. Can I afford to help pay for the kids? Can I help them out? Do I want to stop supporting the kids so that I can have enough of myself? How much do I need in retirement? How will I spend it? Where will I draw money from? What taxes will I pay? What account should I set up? Do I need a trust? Don't I need a trust? The questions just go on and on and on. You know, when you're 20 or 30 years old, when you're 20, 30, or 40 years old, everyone says to me, Mark, you got to go talk to my kids or talk to my grandkids. They're just getting started out. And I'm happy to do that. Generally, if you're a client of my office, if you're an existing client of my office, I don't care if your kid has 10 cents to save every week, I will find time to meet with them. No, I just don't meet with random people that just want some advice on how should I do this or how should I do that, especially when it just comes start when it's all about just getting started. But I will always, always meet with our clients, children, grandchildren, at any stage in their life. But if you're 20 or 30 years old, here's the advice that you need. It's very simple. It's very simple. Save more, spend less. That's all. Four words. Save more, spend less. And you know that that's the right answer to give to your kids, but will they listen to you? No, they don't listen to mom and dad. Save more, spend less. I can't do that. How can I afford to buy these fancy sneakers? Or what about the electronics that I need? I need a new iPhone. My kid comes to me, Jerry, comes to me, says to me, Dad, he says, you know, for whatever reason, I can't get some of these apps to download. I don't think my phone's working all that well. Can I just get rid of my iPhone 6 and just buy an iPhone 7? I said, wait a second. Aren't we jumping to conclusion here? He says, well, I've tried everything. He says, I've gone to the internet, tried to reset my phone, tried to do all sorts of things. It's just not any good anymore. How is your iPhone 6 not any good to me? A lot of people are still operating on iPhone 4s and iPhone 5s. Now, if you have a Galaxy 7, that's a whole nother story. You don't want to start holding those. But is iPhone 6? So I said, Jerry, I said, why don't you go to the Apple store and show them your phone and ask them if there's something that you could do to make it more efficient, make it work better? Oh, I don't have time for that. I said, oh, wait a second. You don't have time for that, but you have time for me to order you an iPhone 7. Well, you probably can't order it, Dad. You have to go to the store to buy it. I said, oh, so we should go to the store to buy an iPhone 7 for you because your iPhone 6 isn't working to your specifications, but you won't bring the iPhone 6 independently to the Apple store to see what they can do for you. I'm using Jerry as perfectly as an example because that's the way the kids think right now. Turns out I made Jerry go. And he had to schedule an appointment at the Apple store. And he walks into the Apple store and he then went off to work. Jerry delivers pizzas, as you all well know, and it's the best job in the world. At least for him it is. And so I don't hear from Jerry. I'm like, Jerry, what happened with your phone? I text him, don't hear from him, Dad, I can't talk to you, I'm working. Oh, wait. I bet you're texting your friends all day long, but you can't talk to me while you're working. So, well, I don't want you doing it while you're driving the car delivering pizza. I get that. But if you're hanging out in the place, whatever, just let me know what goes on. So Jerry finally walks in the door around 9 o'clock. And I said, so Jerry, how'd things go at the Apple store? He says, well, he says, the guy was looking at my phone. And he says, well, it looks like I had a really, really, really old backup of my data on my phone that was taking up an enormous amount of data. And he just hit this switch, made it go away. And my phone's working great now, Dad. I get all the space. It's so efficient. I said, oh, do you need an iPhone 7 now? He says, well, I guess. I'd like an iPhone 7, but I guess I don't. I'm like, how many times do you go to the store, whether it's Home Depot, whether it's a furniture store, whatever it is, and when you're buying this item, an expensive item, they tell you about the lifetime warranty or the guarantee that's on the product. And 4 or 5 years go down the road and you realize this thing's falling apart or it isn't working anymore. And you just figure, I'm just going to throw it away. I'm just going to toss it out the window. And I'll just go buy something else because it's always nicer to have something new. Well, another story for you. This past week, I thought that it was time for me to toss in my Weber grill. I have a Weber barbecue grill. And I tell these stories because I think you can relate to these stories. Weber grill out in my deck. For the past couple of years, the inside part of the Weber grill has started to rot out. And I just figured it's getting old. I just need to replace it. So I go to Home Depot and I tell the guy, you know, I've had this Weber grill. It's starting to rot out on the bottom in the cook pan or something. And he says to me, why don't you call Weber? I said, what do you mean? Why didn't I call Weber? I said, it's just time for a new grill. He says, Weber's got the best customer service in the world. You call Weber, they'll just replace it. I said, they're not going to replace this thing. I showed him pictures of it. It's all rotted out, all where the he says, give it a shot. So he won't let me buy a new grill. The Home Depot guy won't let me buy a new grill at Home Depot until I go to Weber and see what they can do for me. So sure enough, I call Weber. I'm on the phone with the guy for close to 45 minutes. He's asking me to send him pictures of my grill as we're on the phone. And it's pretty cool, I think, that you can do that. Send pictures and be on the phone with somebody at the same time. Well, he tells me, he says, yeah, he says, this shouldn't be happening to your grill. He says, you got a 15-year guarantee on this grill. And he says, you've only owned it for 6 years. And he says to me, no problem. He says, we're just going to send you new parts and new grill. I'm like, really? I was about to spend $700-$800 for a new Weber grill, and they're just sending me the stuff. Folks, you got to, before you start rushing to buy something new, if it's something that you've enjoyed, something that you've worked with, enjoyed having, I know it's nice to have the new shiny bells and whistles. Well, I'm telling you, the new grill came. Yeah, I had to put it together, but it looks new. It's shiny. It's pretty. All the knobs are nice and clean and everything. And I didn't have to spend $700 or $800. I did have to spend 45 minutes on the phone, but it's paid for. We got to take a look at those things. Make sure that you're taking advantage. If you want to, and if you're spending the money, God forbid you're spending the money at Best Buy or some of these other places to spend the money for the extra warranty, which I think is the biggest joke in the world, because think about how many people don't use it. They'd rather buy a new TV than go back to Best Buy to get their TV fixed. Make sure that you know what the warranties and guarantees are on the products that you're buying now. Not buying extra, but now, today. And for some way, shape, or form, try to keep track of it. Some people choose to keep track of their electric bill for 40 years, but they don't keep track of the guarantee or warranty, or they don't register their products that they buy. Folks, do that stuff. Register your products. That will hold. Keeping stacks and stacks of your electric bills and your utility bills going back to 1972, not necessary. All right, enough with that. I got lots of stuff to talk about. Like I said, in your 50s, 60s, and 70s, we're going to talk about things for you to think about in those different stages in your life. We'll do more of that when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Isn't it time to get serious about your retirement planning? Friedman Financial is a financial planning and investment management firm in Peabody. They've been helping professionals and retirees put solid strategies into play for 40 years. When you're planning to get serious about planning for retirement, call Friedman Financial for a free initial consultation at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or go online to FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hope you're having a great day. We are in the midst of the month of October, heading just a couple weeks away from Haunted Happenings out in Salem. Hope you've picked out the right Halloween costume for you, but make sure it's not too scary. Make sure it doesn't insult anybody, because I don't know if you heard what happened down at University of Florida. They have put counselors on 24/7 and have asked students not to host costume parties because they may offend, disappoint, scare, insult some of the students there. Yes, you heard that right. Go ahead, Google it yourself. And hey, if you can Google it, it must be true, right? But seriously, that is what's happening. They've added counselors, psychological counselors in Florida to deal with the impact that students will have when they see somebody walking across dressed as an Arab or dressed as Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump or dressed as a clown or dressed as... It's just insane. Halloween's just a fun holiday. I mean, everybody gets insulted. They see somebody that's not dressed appropriately, someone that doesn't look like them, someone that is missing a limb, whatever it might be, and all of a sudden they're going to be psychologically damaged. Folks, when you go to college, it's an entry stage into the real world. It's not a protection into what life was like in elementary school. And I read these stories and I can't believe what's going on here. Let the kids make mistakes. Let them be foolish. No, you know, you don't want them to hurt anybody or physically hurt anybody, I should say. But, you know, it's ridiculous. It really is. Come on. I mean, this is the real world. How are we preparing our children from the real world? We're spending $60,000-some-odd, $20,000 to $60,000 for kids to go to college. And we need to still helicopter them and create a cupcake environment for them in the colleges. No, I think that's unnecessary. Anyway. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, where we've been providing financial planning and investment advice to individuals and families living on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the southern New Hampshire area since 1968. Not me. I was born in 1966, so that would have been impossible. My father started the firm back then, back in 1968. And that's right. I would have been 2 years old in 1968. I think I said that. But this, in April of 2018, we're going to be celebrating our 50th anniversary of providing financial planning and investment advice to the community. My father since retired about 10 years ago. My business partner, Marion Gilman, is by my side, not today, but she is with me and has been with me 16 years now. So the two of us, we are the two planners that you meet. You don't get pawned off to anybody else. It's us. You meet us, and that's how it all works. We've got a great support staff as well that really gets things going. I'll tell you something interesting that happened just the past week. We met somebody. We get some of the most interesting calls. Sometimes we hear from people that have found out that they have money that they never knew existed. And we had that instance just recently. Someone walked in, they found out that they had $5 million. $5 million. And they were living a very, very simple lifestyle, but had no idea that they were left $5 million. Their parents, the money was left to them by their parents, who lived a very simple lifestyle. In fact, they were hoarders. And when they started going through the safe deposit box, started going through drawers and cabinets and all sorts of stuff, they found stock certificates. And when I say they found stock certificates, they found stock certificates. Lots of them. They found a stock certificate that was for the American Safety Razor Company. You ever heard of the American Safety Razor Company? Well, if you were back in the 1940s and the 1950s, you might have been familiar with that firm. They made, guess what? Razors. And guess who bought them in the 40s and the 50s? A company called Philip Morris bought them. And man, those stock certificates were worth over $1 million. I mean, when he bought them, he probably paid 35 cents for it. But these stock certificates were now worth over $1 million. They were now Kraft Foods. They were now Philip Morris stock. It's amazing how much this stuff grew. And these people had no idea. It is amazing what comes walking in our door. And one of the things that we help people with, it's not about trying to figure out and find the right investment or the right investment strategy. It's about providing advice. That's what you buy when you work with a financial planning firm. Our firm is just that. We are certified financial planner professionals. When you come to our office and we're charging you a fee, yes, part of that includes some investment management, but most of it involves advice. How do you handle that? How do you move all those stock certificates into the right person's name? What's the tax liability that's necessary? How do we sell the house? Who do we call to clean out all of the stuff that's in the house that has been hoarded forever? How do we move into a retirement community? How do we buy a car? How do we help to finance our kids' education if we want to? How do we buy a home in Florida? How do we sell the summer cottage that's up in Maine? How do we produce the right amount of income from our resources so that we maximize our life in retirement and not squander it away, but instead leave an enormous fortune to the next generation? Maybe those are questions that you're asking, maybe not, maybe there's others. I assure you, we've heard lots of them, and that's what comes with. I've been doing this 25 years now. This year, I celebrated my 25th anniversary of providing financial planning and investment advice. We see a lot of stuff. Everybody always asks the questions, Mark, I think I make a lot of money, or do I have enough money to retire? And those answers are ridiculous kind of questions, because what is a lot of money? What does somebody need to support their lifestyle? We have some clients that support their lifestyle exclusively on $2,000 a month in retirement, and they are more than happy living off $2,000 a month. Others that couldn't imagine spending less than $20,000. What's the right number? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Because it's unique for you. And we want to help try to strategize that for you. So, you know, let's start with many people are approaching their age in their 50s right now. Some new things that happen when you turn 50. I mean, I turned 50 this past May. And one of the things that you get to do as a 50-year-old, if you're a participant in a 401k plan, is you actually get to add more money to your 401k plan. That's right. When you're 50 years old, you're entitled to this thing called the catch-up contribution. Not catch-up, but the catch-up contribution. Most people who have a 401k plan have the opportunity to put up to $18,000 into their 401k plan each year on a pre-tax basis. If you have a Roth 401k plan, you can put it in on an after-tax basis, but collectively, you can put in $18,000 of your earnings into a 401k plan. But when you turn 50, the government gives you the opportunity to add a little bit more. Because how many times when you turn 50 or you're in your 50s or 60s and you're saying to yourself, geez, I wish I started doing this sooner. Well, the government's given you the opportunity to give yourself a pat on the back and say, you know what? I'm making some extra money. I'm in my 50s. I'm in my prime earning years. I'm going to take this advantage and save a little bit more. Well, now, instead of saving $18,000, if you're over age 50, you're allowed to add an additional six, allowing you to put away $24,000 into your pay. Hey, if you can afford it, great. You know, some people, if you're making $36,000, you can't afford to put $24,000 into your pay. But you got to find the right number. Take advantage of it. I also want you to ask yourself, at age 50, are you still putting the same percentage of your pay into your 401k plan than you were 5, 10, and 15 years ago? Are these the most expensive years of your life, or are these prime earning years? And if these are prime earning years and the opportunity for you to put money away, I would encourage you to do that. Because right now, here's the statistic that comes out of the Employee Benefit Research Institute, came out a few years ago. It shows that the income sources for the average retiree. So I want you to think about this. Think about this number. When you're retired, there's generally, some people used to refer to it as the three-legged stool. Your income would come from three things. Number one would be Social Security. Number two would be pensions. And number three would be other sources. Now, years ago, most people's income in retirement came from Social Security and a pension and very little from other sources. Right now, if we look at every retiree in America, it's 34% of the income comes from Social Security, 18 from pension, and 48 from other sources. That means 48% of their income has to come from the money that you've saved in your 401k, that you've put aside in your investment account, that you might have from the equity in your home, whatever it might be. You've got to create and produce income from that, from almost 50% of your income. To me, I would say that for many people, Social Security and pension collectively represent around 40% today from the people that I see, represents about 40% of their income. and the rest has to come from other sources. But years ago, many people, like I said, didn't have those other sources. Social Security and pension was enough. That's why you heard the term living on a fixed income. Because that fixed income didn't change. The pension never went up, and Social Security would go up ever so gradually at a rate of the rate of inflation, which generally was around 2.5 to 3%. But if you have happened to read recently, it came out in, I'm reading this week's copy of Investment News. It says that, get ready for this, 2017, where 2016, we didn't see any increase in Social Security. They've just announced what the increase in Social Security checks will be for 2017. Are you ready? Are you ready? So if you were getting a check for $1,000 a month, your new check will increase to $1,030. It is a 0.3% increase. A 0.3% increase, not a 1%, not a 3%. You can't even buy a Milky Way for the increase you're going to get in Social Security this year. It's the lowest increase that we've ever seen. Well, the lowest increase would be zero, I guess, but I guess you wouldn't call that an increase. So 0.3%, that is what you can expect to see. But what's even worse is that's not stopping Medicare premiums from going up. So despite the fact that your Social Security check will go up ever so slightly, you may see your Medicare check go up even more, though. It will actually increase. Right now, I think the number here is $104.90 is the current monthly check for Part B of Medicare. That's if you were receive your check is if you receive a Social Security check of around $1,500 a month, then your Medicare payment, Medicare Part B, is around $104.90. It's likely to go up to $109.40 in 2007. So that's a $5 increase, about a $5 increase. So that's a 5% almost increase, 4.7%, I guess, is the number, in Medicare payments, but a 0.3% increase in Social Security. So, folks, this is not going to change anytime soon. Social Security is not going to be the resource that you can count on for increased income. And if you get a pension, you certainly well know that that isn't going up either. The requirement for each of us to put more money aside on our own is critical. And how do we do that? What if we say, well, I just can't do it? Well, yeah, you can. It's very simple to be able to put more money away. You know what the solution is? Spend less. And that's tough because we live in a spending culture right now and people want to spend. So what else can you do at 50? What can you do at 60? How about 70? I got lots more to share with you. When we get back, you're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 4.9.
Once in a lifetime, a musical comes along that transcends the art form and becomes part of our national heritage.
Tonight, tonight, it all began tonight.
Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater presents an all-new production of West Side Story.
Free in America, okay, by me in America, everything free in America.
The landmark musical with one of the most stunningly beautiful scores ever created for the stage.
When you're a jet, you're the top cat in town. You're the gold medal kid with the heavyweight crown. When you're a jet, you're the swingin'est thing. Little boy, you're a man. Little man, you're a king.
West Side Story is at North Shore Music Theater for 3 weeks only, starting November 1st. For tickets, log on to nsmt.org. Sponsored by Abiomed.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. If you like what you hear on this show, perhaps our style is something that you could say, you know, you might benefit from it personally. Maybe you like the advice that we provide here on the radio, but if you say, you know what, I want to share my entire situation with Mark. I would like to meet with Mark and Marion, my business partner, and really have them get to know my whole situation, and perhaps they can steer me down a better path. Now, if you're buried in debt, if you can't figure out how to get out of all these payments that you have with credit cards and loans and all that stuff, we're not about that. That's not what we do. That's a credit counseling service that you need. But if now is the time where you're saying to yourself, you know what, my paycheck's coming to an end, I need to rely on the resources that I have available, pensions that are out there, IRAs to roll over, a 401k to consider. I might have some life insurance. I've got an annuity somewhere. I've got a home to worry about. I've got a mortgage. My kids are expensive. I don't know what to do. When you want to try to get your financial house in order, that's the time to come and see us. And I'd love to meet with you. If you'd like to schedule a free initial consultation at my office, give me a call, 978-531-8108. You'll get the machine at my office, which normally we answer in person Monday through Friday, but today is Sunday. So leave a message. Leave it with Jody, my assistant. She will call you back, or you can call on Monday, of course, and we will get together. We will schedule some time for you to meet with us. You know, it's really interesting that we've been talking about 50, 60s, and 70-year-olds, and did you know this, that let me ask you to think about this number. How long do you think you'll live? How long do you think you'll live? You know, when we do our financial planning, we assume you're going to live to 100. And some people say, you're nuts. If I live that old, push me in front of a bus before that. Now, how many people have you heard say, push me in front of a bus if I'm that old? Have you ever seen someone get pushed in front of a bus? I've never seen that happen. Maybe in a movie. But I've never really seen that happen. But everybody says, push me in front of a bus. That doesn't happen. Folks, you're going to live a lot longer than you've ever lived before. Take a look at the pictures that are hanging up in your living room and dining room of your grandparents, your great-grandparents, your great-great-grandparents. Many of those pictures might even be in black and white. And you look at them and go, oh, they look old. And then you think to yourself, geez, I wonder how old they are in that picture. And you realize that the person that is looking at the picture, you, are older than the people that you're looking at in the picture. Folks, we're living longer. We're more active. 65 doesn't mean the end of the world. In fact, 65 means the start of a new beginning. You are likely to live in your retirement years as long as you've worked full time. Did you get this? Now, this is everybody. There's some statistics that come out of, this is the Employee Benefit Research Institute and Social Security, that says if you are 65 years old, a male who is age 65 years old is likely to live on average another 18 years. Okay, so that takes you to 84. That's on average. That's on average. And you know what? If you're in reasonable health, you're going to beat that average. Because think about all the people who are 65 who are not in great health. There's a lot of them. A lot of them. How about women? Women are expected to live another 20 and a half years. So that takes you to 85 and a half if you're 65. How about these people, though, that are 75 years old? The average life expectancy of somebody who's 75 years old is a little more than 11 years. That takes you to 86 years old. For a woman, it's 13 years. That takes you out to 88 years old. Look, we all know plenty of 80-year-olds and 90-year-olds. In fact, I know there's many of you who listen to this show each and every Sunday morning. Many of you drive. How many 90-year-olds do you know that drive? They do. Some not so well. Some we'd like to take their licenses away. But there are some 90-year-olds that drive very well, certainly better than some of the teenagers that are out there, that's for sure. Folks, you're going to live a lot longer. You're going to spend money. You got to make sure that the money that you've accumulated supports your life for the rest of your life. So let's say what happens, though, when you get to 60, you're starting to think about, oh, my goodness, maybe it's time for retirement. Many people think, well, I'll start collecting Social Security at 62. I heard I can do that. I think that's the biggest mistake, unless you know you have a very short life expectancy. Unless you know you're going to be disabled or you have no desire, none whatsoever, to collect income ever again. Because in reality, full Social Security, your full Social Security benefit happens, first of all, to those that are born between the ages of 1943 and 1954. You're eligible for Social Security benefits at age 66. If you were born after 1954, it starts to move into 67 years old. My daughter won't get her full retirement benefit, Mindy, who's 20, until age 70. Do you know that those numbers have stuck around for a very long time? It used to these numbers haven't changed much since 1935 when the Social Security Administration rolled out this program. But here's one of the challenges is if you take Social Security at age 62 and you decide, I want to work, I want to keep working. Did you know that you're going to have to start paying back your Social Security check if you start to make more than, I think the number is around $14,000. I don't have it in front of me here. $14,000, $16,000, whatever it is. That is not what you had intended to do. Now, many people say, I'm going to start collecting Social Security because we're not going to work. And then all of a sudden, you're home with retirement. How many times is this? Have you seen this happen? 6 months, 8 months out, you realize, I'm bored. I'm not dying at 62. I'm not ready to sit and sew Afghans and drink lemonade on the front porch. I want to get out and do something. It might not have been the job that I wanted to do, that I was doing before, but maybe I get to do something that I want to do. And you're starting to make money. And you realize if you start making money, you're going to have to pay back your Social Security. And did you know that some people actually say, you know what, I'm not going to work because I refuse to pay back my Social Security. Now, to me, that's kind of silly. Work is for your sanity. Not paying back your Social Security is something that you're stubborn on in holding as a principal issue. Work will allow you to live longer. Being active and vibrant will allow you to live longer. Now, maybe you want to collect your Social Security at 62 and go volunteer. Fine. Volunteer. Just stay active. At age 65, you're eligible to sign up for Medicare. I think you know that. That's not Medicaid. Let's be sure we understand the difference between Medicare and Medicaid. Medicare is health insurance that is provided to every individual over the age of 65. Medicaid is welfare. That is what it is. It is health assistance provided to the poorest and most impoverished people here in this country. Now, sometimes I find it incredibly unfortunate that people with net worths of $500,000, $2 million will try to qualify for Medicaid and impoverished benefits. I see it all the time. And the feeling is well, it's legal to do it. If I can figure out a way to get rid of my assets and present myself as impoverished, so be it. I think that's unfortunate. That's not what the Medicaid system was built to do. But we have to find what's right. I mean, everyone has their own moral compass. Everyone decides what they think is the right thing to do. But make sure that you're clear. Medicaid should be renamed welfare. Because I think if you were to say, I'm on Medicaid, and you went to tell your family, I'm on welfare now, I don't think you'd be so proud to say that. And I think the government made a big mistake by calling Medicaid something that is as close as it is to Medicare. Now, someone came into my office this past week and he was participating in what's called a health savings account. Do you know what a health savings account is? This is an opportunity for you to put money aside on a pre-tax basis through your pay into a health account. It's called a health savings account, HSA. This card holds money. Well, the account holds your pre-tax money that you can use to pay for medical costs. And when you pay for it, you don't pay tax when the money comes out. It's basically a tax-free option for you to pay for some healthcare costs. It's actually a great deal. However, once you are 65 years old and eligible for Medicare, you cannot fund an HSA. Even if, let's say you're 68 years old and you get a job to work, I don't care, wherever it is, and they offer an HSA program, you cannot contribute to an HSA once you're collecting Medicare, once you're on the Medicare program. However, let's say you were eligible for Medicare on July 1st of this year. You could save into your HSA for the first 6 months. You just can't do it for the last 6 months. And you can't prorate it all for the 1 year. It's from the period of the number of months that you're before the number of months before you turn age 65. So someone had asked me about that. I just thought I'd share that with you as well. A couple other things for age 66. I mean, for people in their age 60s. Oftentimes people talk about this thing called file and suspend. File and suspend of your Social Security benefits has really been shut down for anybody new right now. I mean, it's a loophole that got closed earlier this year. There's a few people that are still eligible for it. I'm not going to spend too much time on it. But what I want you to think about, though, is also in your 60s, people start to think about, should I start taking money from my IRA? You know, when you take money from your IRA, you have to pay tax on every dollar that comes out. Let's say you have $100,000 in your IRA and you say, Mark, I want $10,000 from my IRA. That $10,000 gets added to your income and is taxable. And you may owe, say, $2,000 on that $10,000 distribution. So where are you going to get that $2,000 from? Do you have to take 12 to get 10? If you have other choices, if you have money in a personal account, if you have money in a trust account, money that's in the bank, whatever it is, and you need $10,000, I want you to think smart about where might the best place to be to take the money. Now, if you don't know how to make those decisions, that's what a financial planner does. It's helping you make smart decisions about your money at the most critical times in your life. You're going to save money simply by getting objective advice. Sometimes we can't help ourselves. We just get all emotionally involved with making silly financial decisions. You know, I was out, I'll tell you a quick story before we take a break. I was in Washington, D.C. this past week. I was speaking to financial advisors, 50 of them in a room. And I'm out there to train these financial advisors how to be better financial planners to their clients. So I asked them a simple question. I said, how many, you know, everybody here has an ATM card. I said, what does it cost to take money out of an ATM machine? And the room's silent. I said, what does it cost to take money out of an ATM machine? So all of a sudden, I start getting answers, $2, $3, $5. These are financial advisors, folks. And I said, the answer's free. Many of them looked at me puzzled. It is free if you go to the bank that you choose to use to get money out of it. If you go to bank, if you work with Bank of America, think about how many Bank of Americas there are around the country. How many Citizens banks there are, TD banks. But if you choose to go to a local community bank, and there can be a lot of benefits for doing that, you may not have the privilege of being able to take money out at other ATMs, and you're going to pay a fee for that. Or even if you're at Bank of America, maybe you use Bank of America as your bank, but you choose to walk into your local Cumberland Farms or 7-Eleven, and they have one of those stand-up ATMs. Because you need cash, you go in there to get it. Folks, that's a big mistake. Those are stupid financial mistakes and things that can be easily corrected. But I guess we need to train more than just our children and ourselves. I needed to train financial advisors in Washington, D.C. that was the case. Folks, we all have a lot to learn, and I got a lot more to share, but we got to take a quick break. I got more to share with you when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away.
Do you ever wonder whether you'll have enough money to retire? Retiring for the Genius is a blueprint to prepare for a comfortable retirement. This easy-to-read guidebook on living your life in retirement is written by certified financial planner Mark Friedman and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 o'clock until 9 a.m. You'll find the tools and templates helpful so you can prepare to make smart decisions on how to spend your money in retirement. If you're older than 55 and expect to spend between $4,000 and $10,000 a month in retirement, Retiring for the Genius is a treasure map for achieving your successful retirement. When it comes to retiring, don't be a dummy. Pick up a copy of Retiring for the Genius at Amazon.com.
Pick up your treasure map for retirement. Available now at Amazon.com. Search Mark Friedman, Retiring for the Genius.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. We are here each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. So one of a couple things I want to remind you about before I get into this final bit. We do a newsletter. We put it out each and every Friday morning. It's called Planning Pointers. If you want it, all you need to do is go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the website. At the very bottom, it says sign up for Mark's newsletter. Click on the button, and you will be signed up for the newsletter. It's really that simple. One of the things we talked about earlier today was some of the decisions that people have to make when they hit various milestones in their life, whether it's in the 50s and the 60s and now into the 70s. You know, at 70, there's a few specific things that happen. Number one is at age 70, if you haven't started taking your Social Security income yet, you are going to be required to take it. You're going to be forced to take it. Not a bad thing. Now, one of the things that's really cool is if your Social Security check at full retirement age, and let's assume that was age 66, was for $1,000 a month. Did you know that you will get at least $1,320 per month starting at age 70? Now, we've just talked about how poorly the increase in Social Security checks are going up. People might say, well, there could be inflation that goes along with that. By delaying your Social Security check from 66 to 70, Social Security will assure you of at least an 8% increase in your check. Where can you get an 8% return on your investments? If you can suspend having to take your Social Security check at 66 and wait till 70, it is a great deal for you, assuming you're in good health, assuming you have plans for longevity that exceeds, say, age 85, because that's generally where the break-even is. There is a break-even point, to make sense, because once you die, you obviously no one's sending you a check anymore. Yeah, your spouse might pick up your check, but she'll lose hers or he'll lose, whatever. You understand what I mean. The other thing to know about at age 70 comes a very important year. It's the time in which you are required to begin thinking about taking a minimum distribution from your individual retirement account, whether it's a 401k, whether it's an IRA, whether it's a 403b, a simple, a SEP, it doesn't matter. At age 70 and a half, you are required to take a minimum distribution from the collective retirement accounts from which you never paid tax on. So your Roth IRA, for instance, if you have a Roth IRA or a Roth IRA, you don't have to worry about taking money from that account. But all of those accounts where you got a tax deduction, where you deferred having to pay tax on the earnings, on the growth and everything, at age 70 and a half, you're required to. Now, yes, you can wait until the April following your 70 and a half birthday. But that would likely mean in many cases that you'd have to take two distributions in the following year. So my general rule of thumb is, with the year in which you turn 70 and a half is the year when you take money from your IRA. Now, let's be sure about a few things, because there's a lot of confusion around this. Number one is, you're not cashing out your IRA. You only have to take what the government requires you to take. And so how do you know that number? How do you figure out what you need to take? Well, what you do is you add up the value of all of your retirement accounts on the value date of December 31st of whatever the year it might be, of the year prior to your 70 and a half birthday. You take that number and you multiply it times a factor that comes out of the uniform table that's provided through the IRS. Generally, that percentage of the number is around 3.6% of your value. So if you have $100,000 in collective retirement assets, you must take $3,600 from your IRA. Now, can you take more? Sure you can. But what if you only say, well, I'm only going to take $2,000. Too bad. I'm only taking $2,000. I'm not going to take $3,600. Guess what happens? The IRS has a report that they receive from all of your retirement accounts. And it tells them the value of what all of your collective IRAs are, because remember, they're attached to your Social Security number. So the IRS is knowing how much you're going to have to report at a minimum on your tax return that year as a minimum distribution. And if you submit your tax return and show that I only took $2,000 out and they're looking for $3,600, they're going to send you a letter. And the letter will say that you underpaid your required minimum distribution. And as a result, you owe additional money. You owe the difference between $3,600 and $2,000. That's $1,600. But wait, there's more. There is a 50% penalty for not taking the minimum distribution. So remember I told you you owed $1,600, the difference between $3,600 and $2,000? You owe $1,600 plus another $800. That's insane. You don't want to make that mistake. And here's when this mistake happens. I see it all the time. People choose to have IRAs scattered everywhere. They have them in banks. They have them in CDs. They have them in an annuity. They have them in a brokerage account. They have them still with old 401k plans that they haven't worked with for years. And they simply forget. And forgetfulness doesn't win you any points at the IRS. At our office, we make sure that the clients that we work with have worked very hard to consolidate their accounts. identify all of their retirement accounts and bring them all into one place. You can own cash assets. You can own stocks, bonds, mutual funds, exchange-traded funds, whatever you want. It doesn't matter. But you need to know what the value is. You need to have a clear understanding because you don't want to get caught by the IRS. And did you know that they do this each and every year? You're required to take a minimum distribution from your IRA each and every year from that collective asset amount. And that number, by the way, changes each year. It changes in two ways. Number one is at the end of each year, the collective value of your IRA is different from what it was the year before. And number two, the factor that is used by the IRS table is different as you get older. But make no mistake, there is not a time in your lifetime where the IRS says that you must liquidate your entire IRA to meet your minimum distribution. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. So make sure that you understand how to take that distribution. I will tell you, that is the number one issue that retirees face when trying to determine how to make a smart decision drawing money. Oftentimes, retirees don't realize that they have the option of taking money from other accounts, non-retirement accounts, to help supplement and support their income so that they don't have to pay the significance of taxes that come out with distributions from an IRA. Because remember, when you're taking your minimum distribution, it is fully taxable to you. It is fully taxable. And so if you're thinking, you know, I'm sitting here looking out the window right now. There is a woman that has just totally stopped her car. She's reading a letter. There's three cars behind her with no blinker on. And I hope that all these people are going to, if you're going to start hearing horns in a second, just giving you a heads up. Never mind. I'm just, I just got distracted here for a minute. But like I said, I always get distracted on this show, don't I? So, you know, the 70 thing, you got to take your minimum distribution. You have to take your minimum distribution at 70 and a half. Don't wait. Take it at the right time. Now, there's a lot of other people that talk about taking a Roth conversion, converting a Roth to an IRA. I'm a fan of it if you're young enough to do it. But understand there's an enormous tax impact as you get older and the Roth gets larger. And you know what? You have to find cash from somewhere else to pay the tax on the conversion to the Roth IRA. I don't know if I told you the story, but a few weeks ago, we had someone that was listening to the show. They called in and they said, Mark, I've got a $900,000 IRA. I said, wow, nice. And he said to me, well, my plan is, he says, I don't want to have to start worrying about minimum distributions at 70 and a half. And I don't want to have to pay the taxes. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to convert my $900,000 IRA to a Roth next year. I said, really? And he says, yeah. He says, just simple. He says, I'll just fill out the paperwork. It'll convert $900,000 in the IRA to the Roth. Folks, that's not how that works. A Roth conversion to a Roth IRA says you have to take the $900,000 that you had in the IRA, pay tax on all of it now, so call it $300,000, and then it will go into a Roth IRA. But guess what? You can't take the $300,000 from the IRA. You have to have $300,000 somewhere else because you have to go from $900,000 to $900,000, IRA to Roth. And the guy says, no, that's not how that works. And he says, I'm a CFO of a company. That's not how that works. I was just tongue-tied. Okay. Well, then you do what you think you have to do. He figures he can beat the system. I don't know how the heck he's going to do it. He did not understand how Roths go to IRAs, but that's the kind of misinformation that's out there, folks. When you work with a certified financial planner, they're going to stand behind the advice and be held accountable for the words and the direction that they give to you. They're going to put that advice in writing so that you can feel confident that you're making an informed decision. In fact, I'll tell you this one final story before we get out of here. A few years ago, I was asked to be an expert witness in a financial planning case. There was a financial planner up in New Hampshire who had been working with a client who was an executive at a company up that way. And the executive was considering a retirement package that was being provided to him by his employer. And he asked the financial planner who he'd worked with for years to take a look at the package and give him the sense whether he could retire or not. So the financial planner brought it into his office. They worked out a plan. He mailed him the financial plan. Didn't present it to him, just mailed the plan to him. But the plan clearly said that retirement should not be a problem. Easy peasy. And so the gentleman went into his boss and he says, I'm going to take accept the offer. Thank you. And he took the offer and left the company. 2 months later, all of the various sources of rollovers, the pension, it was going to be nice that he was going to get. But it was only about half of what he had expected. And when he went back to his employer to say, he started blaming his employer. You did this wrong. You did this wrong. And the employer said, no, this is exactly what we offered to you. And it turns out that the financial planner put together a financial plan that was doubling a lot of numbers. And it was inappropriate and gave him very, very poor advice. And so the gentleman sued the financial planner. And I was brought in as an expert witness on behalf of this employee to present how the financial plan should have been drafted. And what turned out, what the interesting thing that happened was this financial planner, who had been working with his employee for years, had decided that the financial planning part of what he did wasn't all that important. He left that to his staff people to put the data in, to build the plans. He just wanted to manage money. And he left it to his $30,000, $40,000, and $50,000 a year employees to build a plan for a person who was about to receive what he was hoping to get, around $275,000 a year for the rest of his life. And it turns out he was only going to get about $130,000. Now, $130,000 isn't such a bad thing to be getting for the rest of your life. But this guy was building his plan on $275,000. And the planner lost big time. Folks, when you work with a financial advisor, my advice to you is make sure that the financial planner is equally as involved in the financial planning part of your life than they are in the investment analysis part. If you'd like to work with us, if you'd like to schedule a free initial consultation, give my office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Leave a message today for Jody. She'll get back to you tomorrow, or give us a call on Monday. She'll be there and answer the phone live. We'll schedule a free initial consultation for you and help you get your financial house in order, all by doing this, by providing financial advice in a language you can understand. I got to get out of here. Have a great Sunday. My name is Mark Friedman. We're making room for Aurelia Nelson. Have a wonderful day. I'm out of here.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.